All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig a little deeper with you into the book of Revelation. This week, looking at verses 17 through 21 of chapter 16 as we look at the seventh bowl of wrath. And there's really not a whole lot to say about this. So this will be one of the shorter podcasts as we look very quickly at the text. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there has never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of hail, because the plague was so severe. So far, our text this week. We have those great words coming out with a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." This is the seventh bowl. This is the end. Dr. Brighton tells us that the air that is struck is the entire atmosphere that surrounds the earth, including the air that people breathe. This last plague encompasses and impacts the entire earth and all the human race, much more than did the first six. Not only are the earth and the sea and the freshwater supplies and the sun struck, but now the necessary element of human existence is blighted. The air which surrounds people and which they breathe, without which they would quickly die. The seventh plague proclaims emphatically that the time is up, for the end is here, and it is time for the final judgment. The cry from the cross, "It is finished," signaled the end of Jesus' suffering, and as a result also signaled the completion of everything necessary for the new beginning of a new life at the resurrection. So here, this cry in 16:17 signals the end of the time for repentance and an end of God's merciful patience. Just as all of salvation was completed on the cross when Jesus saying, "It is finished," so also now God saying, "It is done." It is the end of time. There is no more chances. I mean, think about it. Not having air to breathe, you are going to die quickly. The end is going to come quickly. Therefore, we can go back to last week and talk about verse 15 again, the parenthetical statement from Jesus, "Behold, I am coming like a thief." He is coming quickly. And yet, in that quickness, there are flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there has never been since man was on the earth. We have the lightning, the rumbling, the peals of thunder on Mount Sinai. We have some of these things in an earthquake at the crucifixion, and now at the end, the whole world falls apart. As even the great city was split into three parts, the cities of the nations fell, every island fled away, and there were no mountains to be found, which gives people the idea that originally before the flood, there may not have been mountains. The world may have been flat, and the idea of Pangaea being there and the mountain ranges and everything being formed during the flood, not impossible. Anything is possible with God. But we look especially at verse 19, where the great city was split into three parts, because this is where we're going to be the next couple of weeks as we look at chapter 17 and the judgment on Babylon. Ecumenius writes, "By islands he speaks of the Gentile churches, as the prophet says, 'The Lord has reigned, let the earth be glad, and let the many islands rejoice,'" in Psalm 97:1. But that he refers to demons when he mentions the mountains, even the holy psalmist shows, singing, "The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, for he is coming," verse 5 of Psalm 97. Primazius says, "In my view, by the terms islands and also mountains, the church is signified on account of the greatness of its stability. Isaiah spoke about these, 'And your teachings give glory to the Lord, and the islands of the sea give glory to the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Isaiah 24:15. And again, and in the latter days, that mountain of the house of the Lord will be established upon the tops of the mountains. Micah 4:1. So here we have again, while the city is falling apart, the islands fled away and the mountains were nowhere to be found. That could be an idea, as I spoke of a moment ago, of everything just being destroyed. But both Ecumenius and Primazius have an interesting idea of they're not there anymore because they're the ones that are surviving. Everyone's looking at the destruction. They're the ones, like the Israelites in the land of Goshen in Exodus, where everything bad is happening to the Egyptians, but the land of Goshen is untouched. The land where the Israelites, where God's people are, is untouched. Showing us once again that even in the end, even in the destruction of all things, those who are in Christ will stand. And those who are opposed to Christ will end up not coming to repentance, but end up cursing him, as verse 21 says. Great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of hail, because the plague was so severe. I mean, you think about it. I mean, we worry about golf ball size and softball size hail. But a hailstone that is 100 pounds, that's a huge hailstone. I mean, this is like boulders coming down from the sky. So yes, they're not worried about the wrath of the Lamb. They're not worried about seeking repentance. They are cursing God because, well, there's nothing left to do but to curse the one who brought it all. And as these are the bowls of God's wrath, there is no one else to blame for this massive plague than God. And yet, we in the church, we who believe in the Word of God, believe in His redemption and salvation, understand that, yes, His judgment is severe because there is hell waiting for all of these who curse God, all who do not repent. And that is one of the hardest things that we battle against. That is one of the hardest things we wrestle with within ourselves, is that we enjoy the idea of holding on to God being love, as John says in 1 John numerous times. And how can a loving God have hell as an option? Well, even a loving God must punish those who do not love Him, who refuse to love Him. Just as a loving parent must punish the child who continually refuses to listen to the instructions, who absolutely refuses to come to an agreement with that parent. So also now, the time is done. There is no more second chances. There is no more time of repentance. As God says from the throne, it is done. And so is this episode of the podcast. Again, I said it was going to be a short one, but I wanted to separate this out to not have the sixth and seventh bowls be a massively long one. So next week, we look at chapter 17, the judgment on the prostitute, the judgment on Babylon the Great. And until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, digging deeper with me into the book of Revelation. I will see you next week.